The presidential campaign is on full blast in the United States. The issue of survival of the nation will fall squarely on the shoulder of the next president. Other important elections have recently occurred or will occur shortly in other nations around the world. World war threatens to explode in the Middle East and other hotspots. Frightful nuclear war, war that means the annihilation of civilization. The world this minute is in grave danger. The issue is a matter of government. That was Mr. Armstrong 40 years ago in the Good News. That is exactly what I see when I look out the window today. The title for today's sermonette is Two Trees of Politics and Voting. And no, that does not mean one tree is the Democrat tree and the other tree is the Republican tree. So just to start with, and just to set the scene, there are three things that we have to do to within the church, to the human government that are over us around the world, wherever we are. Don't have to turn there because we know them. In Mark 12, Jesus says that we have to pay taxes. We give back to Caesar what is Caesar, and what is God's. In 1 Timothy 2, again, don't turn there. We have to, we are exhorted that supplications, prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made of all men for kings and all those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. And in 1 Peter 2, we have to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, as long as it is not contrary to God's. So given these three duties that we have to give to our government, how do Christians in this world look upon the upcoming elections? Should we vote or should we not vote? From strategicrenewal.com, an article written in the run-up to the 2016 Clinton-Trump presidential race, they have the following to say. First, there is no clear biblical parallel to this question. The concept of a democracy where citizens could cast a vote for their primary political leader did not exist in biblical times. In the Old Testament, God's established theocracy did not allow for people to cast a ballot for or against the Almighty. When they did insist on a human king, the Lord acquiesced but assigned a priest to anoint that king. Some of the kings came into rule through the victory in war, but there were no free elections. Furthermore, in New Testament times, Roman emperors were not voted on by the people. So very simply, there is no verse commanding us to vote in the elections. Oh, pretty much, you know, spot on so far and correct summation of voting in the biblical and the man's history throughout the years. And then they carry on to say, the basic attitude every believer should embrace is, in fact, one of being responsible towards the government for the sake of our society and families, to pay taxes, pray and express honour for all naturally flow into other mature and thoughtful responsibilities. To this end, I would say, is definitely responsible to vote. Just as there is no clear verse on commanding us to vote in a national election, there are no clear biblical commands in other areas of family life. Yet a reasonable and mature person will seek to be responsible. Then these are the reasons they say that we should be reasonable. There is no verse that commands us to own your own home. But most heads of a household view this as financially responsible decision in order to provide for and protect the family. Technically, one has a biblical freedom to live in a cardboard box or a treehouse, but that would not likely be responsible care of one's family. There is no verse specifically commanding us to own a car. We are free to walk everywhere or ride a bike or a horse, but most parents purchase an automobile in order to be responsibly transporting their family members to work, school or vacation. There is no clear command to provide a comfortable bed for a child. A parent is free to lay a young child down at night on the tile floor, but that would not be caring or responsible. There is no clear command to buy a last-minute plane ticket to attend a funeral for a parent who suddenly dies in a distant city. Yet most individuals would view this as a wise, considerate and responsible thing to do, if at all possible. That is the logic that they use to justify it being responsible to vote as a Christian. Dropping to the end of the article, he does conclude his discussion on whether or to vote or not, saying, having said all this, I realise we must make our own personal decisions about what it means to be a responsible citizen. It's very evident that this is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam's children deciding what is right and wrong in their own eyes. It's box ticking, weaseling around the spirit of the law and ignoring what God's law actually does teach on those other matters. So what does the Tree of Life say about what it is to be a responsible citizen? Turn, please, to Philippians 3, verse 20. While we're just turning there, we know that from other scriptures, John 15, we are no longer of this world. And 2 Corinthians 6, we are told to come out from among them and be separate. But why? So Philippians 3 in verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are no longer citizens of Satan's world in the church, but citizens of the future kingdom of God, the future ruling family under Christ. We are ambassadors of that faraway country that one certain nobleman went to receive for himself a kingdom. And like ambassadors living in a foreign nation, we have roles and responsibilities in the country that we currently live in. Returning to Mr. Armstrong's Good News article, How Would Jesus Vote for President in October 84, he sums this up very nicely. The United States sends an ambassador to the Kremlin. He resides for the time in Moscow. The Christian in the world today is in the same relative position as the American ambassador is in the Soviet Union. He is not a communist. He does not regard the Soviet Union as his government. And he knows well it is a government mortally opposed to his government. He does not serve the Soviet government, nor enter into its politics, nor devote his time in Moscow trying to eradicate the evils he sees in their system, or to making their state a better state, or voting, or entering into their army and fighting in their cause. Yet he subjects himself to all of their rules and regulations that in any way concern him or his life while there. If they drive automobiles on the left side of the street, he conforms to their regulations. He does not oppose them. He is subject to them while there, endeavouring to cause them to like him so as to be a better representative of the interests of the government he serves, the United States. We are called out of this world. We're called out to follow Christ, to serve him. Man cannot serve two masters. We can't follow Christ and this world and its governments, its politics, its elections, all of which are based on governments of Satan. Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6, and starting in verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. We are right at the end times, the final calamitous few years of this age, Satan's kingdom. And we have been taught by Christ through his end time apostle of these end time events. We can see the framework of what is going to happen, but can we see every exact detail? We can't see how God is going to allow the collapse of the United States. It may be just like the church, attacked and brought down by the leadership which followed Mr. Armstrong. Can we see exactly how prophecy will unfold? God looks at things in a forward direction, as Mr. Bowles brought out a couple of years ago in a sermon. We look at it backwards. We have the wrong view. We pray daily, thy will be done. And then do we think it's okay to go out and vote for who we want in office? In the upcoming elections, it may be that President Biden remains in power and the Republicans just go, okay, we lost again, and life gets even more miserable. Or it may be that President Biden stays in power and the red states secede from the Union and there's civil war and the United States of America is no more. Or maybe, as some analysts have said, they won't even get to the next election because the current administration's trying to do everything to start a World War III. It could be that President Trump gets into power, and the left and the deep state know that they've got to do something drastic and horrendous to avoid them going to jail, because they believe they have no other option. They may try to use dirty bombs. Could be that President Trump gets into office and things ease off. The US economy gets back on track, the Middle East wars are calmed, and Ukraine-Russian conflict slows down and ends. The world has four more years of, quote, normality. That may result in Christ's return being delayed by 4 years. We don't know. So how can we go out and vote for who we think should be in power? No one knows how God will allow it to unfold, but we know it will unfold as it should do. We know the USA and the UK will collapse and the pride of our nations will be stripped away. We have to have total and utter faith in God and Christ that they will protect us no matter which way the world's elections proceed. Just like the Israelites in Egypt, they had to endure 3 plagues before the protection was given to them. We too have to go through events of this world before we are protected in the place of safety. So do we really know all the details, all the ins and the outs of how God is going to allow these events to happen and thus know who we should vote for? We had no clue how the power of the church was going to be shattered after Mr. Armstrong. Was Mr. Descartes the best person to lead God's church? Unequivocally, no. Was he the best man to fulfill the prophecy? God thought so, because that's exactly what happened, and God's church was shattered. So how do we know God isn't going to allow President Biden to remain in office and allow the USA to collapse from within by its own leadership? We have to ask ourselves where our allegiance is. Are we Republican and we have to vote for President Trump no matter what? Are we Democrat? Are we independent? Are we conservative? Labour, Liberal, Green, or the best one that we had in the United States in the 80s, supporters of the monster raving loony party, because I think most of them out there actually are. Or are we of God and his kingdom and his government, a government from the top down? The question is, what would Christ do in the current political arena? Mr. Armstrong sums that up perfectly. What would Jesus do? He would be too busy proclaiming the good news of his own coming world-ruling kingdom, in capital letters. Turn in closing, please, to Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Because this is the government that will be here. And it will be a kingdom that is not voted into office. Isaiah 9 and in verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This future time is when we will be involved in the events of government. But it won't be a democracy where we vote God and Christ in and out of office. It is an eternal government from the top down, based on the one true, correct tree, the tree of life.